Hello, hello, hello. This is Cortina Jackson, and you are listening to What's on Cortina Jackson's Mind? Sex. Whoa. I already started out hitting hard, didn't I, for the new year? Oh boy. I thought it was very important to come out with that one because I want to talk about moving forward. I know a lot of people are, you know, kind of fulfilling their New Year's resolutions and looking at ways to better or improve the things that they did from last year. And I know in the past, I've written two books and started exploring things. And I have written a book that I have not published. I've had that book for many years now. And it was on such a taboo subject of sex that I didn't want to release it. I was afraid. And so I'm exploring new things as I'm kind of doing some soul searching. I want to perhaps publish this book. And so this is something that is really troubling me because I'm trying to live a Christian life and I'm living an upright, upright life before my family and my kiddos. And so I fear sometimes what will be thought of if I release this book with so much sexual material in it. I wrote it at a time when, you know, that was actually a part of my life. I was married and I was seeing a lot of things going on in the workplace as far as cheating. And I work in a male-dominant field. I've worked in law enforcement and criminal justice, and I saw a lot of things going on. And it prompted me to write this book because I too was experiencing some of these things in my own marriage that kind of troubled me. So I wrote about those things, and I wrote quite a sexually explicit story that is still in the closet. Do we sometimes find ourselves holding back and, you know, perhaps realizing our full potential because we concern ourselves with what others may think of us? I enjoy writing all types of genres, but I write based on what I know or have experienced. And we put ourselves out there, and sometimes we're not well received, or we get opposition or ridicule, or somehow we're shamed. And for this fear causes a lot of people to guard their talents. So I'm not the only one. A lot of people don't move ahead for the fear. So, you know, where do you find the most talent? Unfortunately, at the cemetery, because sometimes dreams are never realized. They go straight to the grave. I encourage you to take a step and pursue those things that have always just been a one day I would like to statement. Listen to this great interview that I had with Mr. Ronnie Shaw, in which I talk about these dreams that have not yet been released. And I encourage you again that if you have a dream, if you have a vision, whatever it is you want to do and pursue, don't let fear hold you back or what others may think. This is the year that you have to just jump out there and put yourself forward. People will receive it or they won't. But don't let your dreams go to the grave. Thank you for joining in with me, and make sure that you take a look at my books. I've written two novels, On Earth as It Is in Hell and The Sounds of Silence Are the Loudest. You can find those at www.cortinajackson.com. Let me know what you think. And please enjoy the interview with Mr. Ron Shaw.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another broadcast of The Ron Shaw Show on the Artist First Radio Network. The Shaw Show Redemption Hour. All past broadcasts are archived. Visit artistfirst.com. And now, here's your host, Mr. Ron Shaw.
Welcome, everyone, to the Ron Shaw Show. I am Ron Shaw. Thank you, Z-Man, up there in Ohio, the Artist First Radio Network. He's the engineer tonight and most nights of my show these days. I'm down in Georgia, and my guest tonight is out in Texas. But let me tell you a few things about her. I met this young lady, good many months ago now. We were at Facebook and Get Down with the Authors. A couple of folks had an international party for authors and writers and artists and readers around the world. It was a two-day affair on a weekend. And for the event, I decided that I would, if anyone wanted to come on my show from around the world, they could just say they'd like to be on, and I would choose from the group who said they would like it. Well, I had a great response, had dozens of authors around the world wanting to be on, and I read up on each one of them, and something drew me back to this lady several times. She made it through the first cut. Then it got down to about 8 or 10. Then she made it through the second cut. And I said, something keeps drawing me to this lady. Let me check into her more. So I did, and come to find out, my guest tonight not only is an author, she's also in the field of law enforcement. So I'd like everyone to welcome to the Ron Shaw Show, Cortina Jackson. Hello, Cortina.
Well, hello, sir. Thank you very much. I feel quite honored to be chosen amongst many.
Well, I don't know if this is an honor or not. Now, you got to hold on there, okay? You may want to talk to some of my previous guests. They might think, not so much on Ron Show. Well, you know what? I did. I was reading up on everybody. And you know what? You saw the people wanting to be on. You saw the people.
Yeah.
And they were from around the world. And I have people from other countries on my show. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't a barrier because my radio station folks here, they say, wherever they are, we'll call them up, pretty much. So I looked at the list and looked and I said, wow, I like this Cortina lady.
Wow.
I like the title of your book. We'll get in that in a minute, okay?
All righty.
I like the cover. I like the title. Then the more I read up on you, I said, oh, she's out in Texas, the great state of Texas. Oh, I've had several folks from Texas on. You may know that. You may not, but I have. So here's what I like to do. Right off the bat, I'll turn the stage over to you, and you tell me and my listeners and your listeners now what you want them to know about Cortina Jackson. You tell them your words.
All right. They say everything's bigger in Texas, so I'll go big.
Go big. Go.
Go big or go home. That's the Texan way.
I know.
Well, actually, Cortina Jackson, I'm a very, very busy woman, it seems. I wear many hats. I hold many titles. Of course, my favorite title is being mom. I'm the mother of two sons. I'm also an author. I'm a student still. I'm taking a master's degree classes, and I am a criminal justice worker. So I kind of do it all at once. And I tell you what, it's hats that I have to wear. There's no getting out of them, so I just juggle. I'm quite good at juggling everything, and that's exactly what I do. I go big, just like the Texans go big.
Well, do you ever get the hats mixed up? You ever juggling the wrong one, the wrong time, or wearing the wrong one? Do you ever get mama mixed up with author, and author mixed up with criminal justice, or you know what I'm saying?
That's funny. I used to work at the prison. And I would bring that home in the prison. We would say chow time. When it was time to eat, I would yell down the run, chow time, chow time. And so I would come home sometimes and instead of telling my sons, hey, time to eat, it became chow time. Hey, chow time, let's go, chow time. And I started bringing that home. And I really had to tone it down because I would go into prison mode at home. So, yeah, there's been times that... I have definitely mixed my hats up and
So their children back then, that could have been not time out, it's solitary confinement.
Right. Exactly.
Hey, you get no gym time. You get no, you're not getting out. You're locked down for good, folks.
Right. You've just lost your privileges right there.
No privileges. Oh, God. Oh, okay, you're laughing too hard. My back's killing me. All right. So now, author. Why in the world would anybody want to be an author? I mean, come on, Cortina, what happened? What made you want to be an author?
I tell you what, it's basically an author has so much going on in their head that almost has to come out on paper. And I think when you're an author, they say, you know, sometimes it's easy to write, sometimes it's not. But I believe that, you know, as author, you have so much that you can see in your head. And to try to get other people to see it is just so, you know, it kind of fascinates you to put it on paper exactly the way you see it. And luckily, you know, people embrace what you're seeing. And if they're able to see what you're seeing, hey, it's even better. If they don't, you write for the love of the game. And that's kind of why I write. I write because I love it. I've always done it, and, you know, luckily people embrace, you know, and see what I see, and I try to tell it exactly the way I see it in the movie in my head, so that's what led me to authorship, and I've done it since I was in about the second grade. I'd make up stories for my friends at school, or during recess I'd tell these stories to them, and they just thought it was so cool, and I've been doing it ever since.
When did you start putting it down on paper, and like for, you know, for school or whatever, just at home, or to keep a diary or anything like that? I mean, that fascinates me because I talk to a lot of ladies on my show, authors, of course, and publishers and such, and they y'all share a story that's got a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
Ladies will tend to start writing very early, and they're, I guess, I don't know, it's the solitude nature of it. I don't know what causes it, but yeah, a lot of ladies have said a similar path that you're talking about. When did you start, you know, in school and everything, I understand that, but when did you start saying, well, I should, you know, do this for school or maybe make some books or something, I should write a book.
Yeah, well, I tell you, funny story, and I know this is going to be a twist, but when I was in the sixth grade, literally, I had never heard or really talked about sex or anything. You know, that wasn't, it's in sixth grade back then. I don't know about today. These kids are different, but, they're very different. But in the sixth grade, that wasn't that talked about. But I remember I made up stories for a lot of classmates. I made up these sex stories. Or relationship, and you know, and I put them in the story, you know, and if her name was Martha, Martha met the handsome man who swept her off, and I was telling these stories and writing them until I got caught. And I remember I went to the principal's office, and the principal read the stories and said it sounded like something he had read from an adult an adult novelist. And he thought I had copied, you know, something I had read, and I had never read anything. I didn't know anything about it. I was making up stories that I thought, you know, that it would go. And it was precise. I got in trouble.
Hold on. Wait a minute. No, that's not all that story. You just hold on a minute.
That's the cleaned up part.
Okay. No, you're not nearly finished with that one. All right. You're not getting out this easy.
I thought I was going to skate past that one pretty easy.
No, not with me. Okay. Now, the first question I have is the question you know, but I won't ask that one. I'll say that second. Well, let's make the first one. How about your parents? Did you get any kind of trouble with them? Did the principal let you off the hook or what?
The principal kind of let my mom handle it, which my mom came. She read the stories. She looked down at the paper, and I remember she looked at me with this piercing look like, oh, my gosh. And so the principal said, hey, did she get this from somewhere? And my mom said she absolutely didn't. She said, I know for a fact my daughter made this up. And surprisingly, I didn't get in trouble. Later, as I became an adult, she said, the reason you didn't get in trouble is because I realized you were just like me. So.
Oh.
Now.
Mama wasn't about to spill those beans early, was she? No.
Now, you know, she, I guess I was a chip off the block, but basically she let me know, yeah, you have quite an imagination, kind of like your mom. You're not in trouble, but you are to never write this again.
And all right. So, okay. All right. Now, okay. Now here's the second question. Was it adult like, or was it just, insinuations and such? Well, I mean, what would, did you really flare it up? Did you really ham it up there, so to speak?
I did. I don't think, well, did I? I got sort of graphic. I used, you know, those juvenile words.
Yeah, okay.
But I didn't go too deep into it because, of course, I was making it up in my head of what I thought sex would be, or, you know, what normally happens, or, you know, to what I thought it was. And so it didn't get too deep, but it was detailed enough to where it sounded like an adult could have written for Harlequin or, you know, some other romance, you know, in the sixth grade. So, you know, for a sixth grader, it was pretty darn good. I wish I'd kept them.
Pretty darn steamy for a sixth grader, yes. Okay, now, were you surprised in the seventh grade when they asked you to teach sex education? Were you surprised?
I had to tone it down and act like I didn't know a thing. So I
Say what? And they started reading your stories in class. Okay, Cortina, I got
it. I think they burned them. I'm sure they went and dug a pit and burned those stories. So
I guess it's to your mom says, Cortina's mom, we try not to let our children smoke. It's not good for them. And they're reading this stuff by Cortina, and they're buying cigarettes now.
Right.
And so your mom goes, ooh, okay, I can see that. That's pretty bad. You know,
I'm the one that started the new teen trend of over-sexed kids. Maybe I was the start of that. I'd like to feel I revolutionized.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know that.
You're a trendsetter. It's all Cortina's fault, parents. All her fault.
Sorry, folks.
Mess with her. Hey, now. Golly. I talk to a lot of different people, and so I'm not going to mention any names, okay?
Okay.
Because there's too many names, remember, and I'm old. But I talked to one author, and she had a writing class like they have, you know, pretend to be in, you know, with friends and stuff. And they had a writing class, her pastor had read one of her books and said, you mind if I come to your writing class? I fancy writing on the side a little. Oh, sure. Come on, Pastor Smith. Come on. Yeah. So the first evening he was there, he wanted to read from his new book. I mean, the script, you know. And they say, sure, go ahead. Well, it was adult with capital E-R-O-T-I-C-A. You know what I mean?
Ooh-hoo.
And that was the pastor. So you did start something. I guarantee you.
Awesome.
I said, you got to be kidding me. No. What were the people to say, you know?
Right.
Writing class, like, or whatever. Group. Yeah, okay, well, yeah. Good. Clap, clap, clap. Oh, thank you. You know, anyway.
Right.
It's just words, Cortina. They're just words. That's
just all. Words.
That's all they are. They're words. Words cannot harm me.
Wow. Yeah. Exactly.
Bad reviews. No, bad reviews are good for you, really. Think about it. Some of them.
That's true.
That's true. Okay, now, all right. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I understand that you have something you wrote that you haven't published, but the book you've got published now, and I know you're working on your second one. We'll get all into that, okay? But now, I want to hear about the one that you haven't published. Just give me a little bit about it, okay? Now, you can go into great detail.
The one that got away.
The one that escaped the hook. There you go.
Actually, you know, this is a great segue into this book that has not been published.
Go for it.
I wrote those adult you know, those adult things in the sixth grade, and then I put it down. You know, when they said, don't write it anymore,
yep.
Okay, sure, I'll never do it again. Until I became an adult, and I was married, and I thought, I'm going to write this adult erotic book. And so that's exactly what I did. I wrote this book, and it is very sexual. It is very adult. And when I finished it, I thought, do I dare put this out? You know, at the time, I'm a police officer. My mom and dad, my dad's a pastor. My mom's in the church. You know, supposedly I'm trying to live right and do the right thing. Do I really want my name behind this sex material? And I did not. I finished it. I put it away. And that's where it has remained. And I started on the second book, which is the one I actually published, never to visit that one again. It still exists, but it was something that I thought, wow, I don't know. What would the people say? But,
when
you know.
Did you put it away? When did you put that one away?
Let's see. I wrote that one maybe, this is 2015, maybe about 8 years ago.
All right.
I wrote it, finished it. Put it away.
Okay, you just told me about the little angel on your shoulder, all right?
Right.
The little Ron Shaw devil on your shoulder, all right? Cortina, when you get finished with your second book, the follow-up, the first one you wrote, get that old one out. Get your duster out and kind of dust it off a little bit and revisit it. And they say, somebody said to write... It's to rewrite, you know? Get it out and start saying, well, I thought this is good, but I need to spruce it up a little bit here and there.
Right.
Well, yeah, see, that's the devil talking, okay? Look, because, you know, I remember I love music. I love the blues. And I love the old school, baby. That's me.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember watching the story about, who was it? Was it Muddy Waters? It wasn't Muddy Waters. It was Howlin' Wolf,
yeah.
And he told the story about his mama. His mama told him his whole life he was playing devil music. Devil's music, son. And in fact, I think the story goes, if I'm right, for many years, she wouldn't have anything to do with it.
Wow.
And he made it, and he was making money, and he went back home to where Mississippi, where he's from, and his mom had little or no money. You know, all of those blues folks, they came out of the farms, the dirt, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he handed her, I think the story goes, a $500 bill. Here, Mama. She got it. So this is the story I heard now. I don't think... that she threw it on the ground, stomped on as a devil's money. I don't think devil's money.
Huh.
So, you see what I'm saying? You know?
Yeah.
Depends on the times, you know? Depends on a lot of factors, you know? I don't think that was the devil's music, do you?
No. No.
Man, everything came from the blues, you know?
Pretty much.
But anyway, I'm just whatever. Okay, now, since we're talking about the devil, why don't you tell the people the title of your first book that's out there?
I tell you what, you give me these great segues. Cause
that's right.
Wow. The name of the book that I did put out is On Earth as It Is in Hell. And this one, actually, it's funny, you know, I talked about how kind of I was ashamed to put the first one out because I was worried about what, you know, the church people would think. But this one has some sex in it as well. And when I released it, I wanted to know what my mom thought about it. It was very, to me, kind of that hold your breath moment. She's going to read chapter 3. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, she's going to read chapter 3. And everybody in my family supported it and bought it. I wanted them to support me. I did not want them to read the book. I wanted to put tape on it so that it was just a souvenir. But everybody in my family read it. They all read chapter 3.
Oh, well,
and
it's
surprisingly, okay. And first of all, a lot of my family members are pastors. I have a lot of uncles who are pastors. Everybody's in the church. Everybody, I asked them, what'd you think of chapter 3? And I got to exhale as they all said, it is good. It's very, very good. It's real. And I was pleased. So, so now you're right. Maybe I can go back with story number one.
There you go. So, okay, you passed the test there. I mean, you got to make it through the pastor brigade. I mean, goodness.
Right. That's a tough group there, I tell you what.
I don't have to worry about that with my books. My family, they throw rocks at me, Dad. They're not going to read anything I write. No. They won't listen to me. They won't read. No, oh, hey, heck no, not my, no. They're like, what? He's written a book, him? How many? No, him.
Wow.
So, man, I don't have to worry. I don't have to run that gauntlet. No, I don't. Thank you, Lord. But, okay, so now, how long did it take you to write this book?
This book, the first part of it, it took me, once I got going, the first part took me a matter of weeks. I was hashing that thing out.
Smoking, baby. There you go.
Oh, my goodness. It just flowed. And then I hit writer's block, which I've learned is, I guess, writer's excuse.
That's it.
Yep, you told me.
That's it.
Now you got me questioning my. Anyway, I got writer's block, put it down for maybe 2 years. Didn't touch it for 2 years. I didn't even know where to go with it. I got to a point, it sounded really good to me, but I was thinking, how do I end this thing? And after me and my husband, I moved away. I moved to Dallas from Houston. When I got here, I finished it in another couple of weeks. It would have taken me, if I'd written the whole book, the way I was flowing, I could have finished it very, very quickly. But because I put it off and didn't do anything with it, it prolonged it. But once I got flowing, I actually had dreams, almost like I was seeing a movie. And I would keep a pad and pencil by my bed, and I would dream chapters. And when I would wake up, I would write almost like I was staring into space with the pen on the paper just writing. I could just see the whole thing. And I had to make it where the people could see exactly. I wanted to make it where they see exactly what I see. And that's what I did when I was able to hash out some of the chapters. So it came about pretty quick, and I was pretty pleased with it.
So, okay, who did you cover? Did you do it, or did you have somebody do it for you?
The cover of the book, I actually did it. I was a starving artist. I didn't know anything about book publishing or self. I didn't know a thing about it. But what I did is I went on the site and got some images. I knew what I wanted it to look like. I knew I wanted, since it's on Earth as it is in Hell, I wanted the Earth to look like it was on fire, and almost look like it was in Hell itself. And I found the exact image and just kind of put the letters over it, and boom, it came together. I tell you, it's been a process, but I've done everything on my own. So with some proper guidance, outstanding, but you know.
So you did it all indie style, everything?
Everything from the book trailer, everything I did.
Okay, now. Let's see what time we got here. Oh, we got a few minutes before we take a little bit of a break. What's it? Golly, you know, speaking of segues, okay? when you talk about your cover, you should read my Seven Fish Tree. Yeah, that's what it's kind of like, yeah. In fact, you described it a little bit there. What happened? Yeah. Oh, but anyway.
Awesome.
Anyway, it's kind of mysterious. It's similar to you. Mine came as a near death experience or
wow,
marvelous dream, and I did. I like to say this, but I've come to know that it's not too bright to say this. And after now, with the other stuff I've been writing, but that first book, I didn't intend to write a book. Never thought I would. Never dreamt of it. And then one night I went to bed to my home here in Snowville, Georgia, and no problems, not sick, no anything.
Mm-hmm.
All night long is as if I stayed in heaven all night, back and forth. So when I didn't know I was going to wake up. I thought I was going to stay where I was. I wanted to.
Hmm.
I woke up and wrote the book in less than 37 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, without the, you know, additional editing and stuff, you know, it, I mean, it took longer afterwards, but.
Right.
But, yeah. And that's straight through. I mean, that includes sleeping and honey-do list and breakfast, supper, dinner, and go to laundry, and go here, go there, do that. That's all that included, too. So, yeah. But
amazing.
You talked about your cover, that kind of, with Earth on Fire, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, 753. Anyway, okay, let's go ahead and do that thing. We'll take a little quick break. Cortina will be right back. This is going to be one of my future guests, folks. He's coming Monday after next, on the 23rd of November. I'm going to have the world-renowned Bleeding Critic on. Okay, Z-Man, no mind playing.
Bleeding Critic is the Banksy of horror in the movie world. But the other element that makes him unique, like no other, is his interaction via social media with millions of horror fans. Horror Memories is the new addition to his beautifully designed horror website, bleedingcritic.com, the likes of which has never been seen before. Horror fans and those working within the horror industry send film clips of themselves sharing a horror memory, a moment from a film that disturbed them. Bleeding Critic is a unique figure in the world of horror movie reviews and horror stories. Now, the other thing I have to warn you about is that Bleeding Critic is anonymous. How? He wears a specially designed clown's mask to freeze your spine. What makes Bleeding Critic different is 1, his unique approach, 2, he's a critic with a difference, 3, his involvement of social media, 4, Bleeding Critic has over 15,000 followers on Twitter, 5, bleedingcritic.com is the most advanced interactive horror website in the world, and 6, he is the only horror critic giving horror fans the chance to have their say and to be heard.
Thanks for joining us on the Ron Shaw Show on the Artist First Radio Network. All past broadcasts are archived. Visit artistfirst.com. Now back to your host, Mr. Ron Shaw.
Hey, thank you, Z-Man. Folks, I hope you tune in every Monday night. 2 Mondays from now, Bleeding Critic will be on, and that's his name, Bleeding Critic. And if you don't know of him, go online, go to Facebook, go to Twitter, go anywhere on the social media. Check his website out. That is absolutely right, what that commercial said. It's a fascinating site, and it's very interactive. And it's some scary stuff. If you like scary stuff. A lot of people do, Cortina. Did you know that?
I do. Exactly. I'm one of them.
There you go. Folks, I'm back at the Shaw Show Redemption Hour. I've got Cortina Jackson from Texas back with me. And we're doing some redeeming here because her book has hell in the title. I know that. And so let me ask you now. We'll get into your book. I want you to tell a bit about your book in just a second. But I wanted to tell you, I was messing around the social media.
Mm-hmm.
You may know this, I probably do, but Twitter, you need to really get more active in Twitter.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why. Twitter is, of all the authors I talk with and publishers, without a doubt, to the authors, Twitter is the best friend.
Mm.
Now, Facebook is fine, but It's not the big table, the big tent. No, it's not.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something that happens, Cortina, around the 6,000 or so people you follow and followers. at Twitter, it's just unbelievable how around the world people will support you. Around the world, just around the clock too. So I mean, and Twitter's more in the moment. You know, Facebook, you'll put something in, and maybe a day later, somebody will hit that they like it, right?
Right.
I like that with, you know, chirp, chirp, right? But not Twitter. We could go there tonight. You can talk with people in Eastern Europe tonight or in Japan and places around the world. And it's a lot of fun. I just encourage you, that's all, to spend some more time at Twitter with your marketing and your interacting with folks.
Yeah.
It'll
exactly.
Help.
I definitely will. I tell you what, that was something that was a challenge for me at first. I didn't get it. I was thinking, what the heck? Where did my post just go? And I was so lost with Twitter. And now I'm really starting to get into it. And you're right. It definitely is an author's friend. I've connected with so many people through it. And just wonderful to have social media these days. I don't know how. How we could do without it.
No, I don't either.
It's full force.
I don't think we could be writing books without it, I tell you that for a fact.
Right.
Now, I tell you, I've noticed, I get a lot of, I have nothing but good to say about Pinterest. I like Pinterest, too. Pinterest is an artist or an author's friend also, because it's more visually as well as text, you know, oriented.
Yeah.
You know, pictures and text. So Pinterest has really picked up. There's a lot of, wow, it's fantastic. But anyway, so let's get back to your book. Now, don't give it all away. Don't shave a little bit for the people.
Okay.
But give us a little bit about your book.
Well, again, yes, the book is On Earth as It Is in Hell. Basically, evil and havoc is being wreaked across the world, but where does it come from? Man or a greater force? Actually, the opening sentence of the book is, stepping across hot lava and putrid, liquefied bodies, she carefully used the heads of screaming souls as stepping stones. And that kind of gives you a picture already delving into what we're dealing with. Basically, what happens when portals that lead from hell directly to the earth open in the very places that we find protection and refuge?
Uh-oh.
What unfolds? Right. What unfolds as the church itself is found to be built on top of these portals to hell? Demons enter into unsuspecting people, places, and things in the world. Through this book, you will journey through the eyes of the three characters in the story. And basically, the book will end up releasing you to your own thoughts of its very existence. One of my favorite movies to this day is Final Destination. If people haven't seen Final Destination, please go see it. I love that movie. Because to this day, I still will ride behind vehicles, and you know how you see a chain dangling or you see a bolt, and I still am haunted that chain is going to pop off and hit me in the windshield, and it's going to just start a chain of events, you know. And so that movie to this day haunts me in everything I do. I go to the amusement park, I'm looking at the rides. Great, great movie. And basically, I wanted to write the book in the same way, and that you will have twists and turns, and it kind of becomes a joyride that the reader goes through, you know, and kind of leads you to decide the existence of hell, or what you construe as hell, fact or fiction, basically, and you decide.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it's very, very intriguing.
That first sentence you read out there, I think I dated her. yeah, it sounds like it.
The woman from hell.
Well, yeah, I think I did.
Oh,
anyway,
no.
She stepped all over my... No. God, you're scaring me. Dadgum, y'all scare me. You guys come over here and scare me all the time. Okay, now, I put your thinking cap on. Here we go.
Okay.
What is the most difficult thing about writing? What is it that you just cannot stand at times to do? You know, you want to write books, you're compelled to do it. I know you're driven to do it. I know.
Yeah.
And the characters are there, the story's there. It's interrupting your sleep. You got to write chapters. You got to do this. Okay, what is that? What is the worst or the least desirable thing about writing books?
Ooh, that is a good thinking cat question.
Yes,
what
it is.
It's hard to say, you know, because when I like to write, and I do, I love to write, it doesn't become hard for me. What do I hate about it or dislike? You know, as we discussed before, it was the writer's block, but I guess, you know, and that's what it is. It's the everything around. If I had the freedom to just write, it would be wonderful. I could do that all day. My head is full, and I would just like to unload it.
Yeah.
But it's everything around, you know, that's going on around with work and school and life, and that kind of interferes with that process and kind of throws my writing game off. And that's, you know, basically that's it. It's the outside interferences that bother me. Other than that, if I could sit on a lake and just have pad and pen, I think I would really enjoy that life. So
it's not so much a writer's procrastination.
Right.
It is the convenience to write when you want to.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you can't, you have to sleep. You can't stay up all the time. You got to sleep.
Right.
the other question is, when you answered the question there, it's hard for you to, you know, to come up with one. And being an indie author, you haven't had to go through with what authors with publishers have to go through with. So there are some things about the process that are less than fun. Yeah, let me put it that way, less than fun. For example, how many times do you think, now this is a ballpark figure, how many times do you think your manuscript, did you read it before you actually published it, hit the publish button?
Oh, gosh. Maybe 50 times.
All right. And each time you're rewriting, you're doing this, you're doing that, you're catching mistakes, you're doing this, right?
Right.
Well, think about this. Think about if you had your book, your manuscript ready. We keep saying book, but manuscript. And you send it to me. I'm Ron Shaw Publishing, right? And I'm going to do your book. Well, you're sitting on pins and needles, you know. Oh, boy.
Right.
There's no cover yet. There's no nothing. You've turned your baby over to me and said, take care of it. Make it into a book. Help me distribute it. Help me market it. Help me sell it. Everybody will want to buy it. Everybody in the world will. Everybody. Well, okay. Yeah. And Oz exists, too. Okay. But anyway, then you send it to me. And we go through so many sessions of editing.
Wow.
You've already read it 50 times before you send it to me.
Right.
Then I sent it back, and I said, read it again. Here, look at all these mistakes you made. This chapter won't fit. Work another one. No. Maybe, you know, this is in general. I'm not saying you specifically, okay?
Yeah.
You might need a ghostwriter here, young man or young lady. This isn't working. Rewrite the whole thing.
Ooh.
And then you go, what? Okay? Well, if that doesn't happen, just if it minimally, they're sending it back to you, and you wait months for this, months.
Oof.
Then they'll come back and say, yeah, you need to rewrite this. Or here are all the edits this time. Then you send it back, and they send it back again in a month or two. Here's the second wave of it. And then you get through with that, then you have to go through that three or four times. And literally, by the time you've read that book so many times, you want to just, what, roll or die, right?
Right.
Well, then it's months and months before it's published.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, the saying is with the traditional publishers, supposedly, I've heard so many times, 18 months from the time a publisher gets your manuscript to possibly it's released. Yeah, so how long did it take you once you'd done it? Those, you know, you'd written it you'd over and over and over. How many months from start until where it's, you got a book in your hand?
Maybe
an e-book at least out there.
Let me think. Maybe 2-3 months. Yeah,
therein lies.
This was all on me.
There you go. Now that's part and parcel to the reason why you couldn't really think of anything that really, you know.
Yeah.
Distasteful about? Yeah, that may be distasteful.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, the other question is, what is the best thing about writing? What do you like the best about it?
I love that I can put the ideas on paper. I'm very visual. I love watching movies. Love it. I'm a Netflix fool, I'm telling you. Oh, my gosh. I love watching movies. And I like to tell a story so that if I'm telling to someone who could not see the movie, they would see it when I got through telling it. So I really enjoy the thrill of making it believable. Making it so real, so, you know, just visual that, you know, I love doing that and then telling stories to people and, you know, become this storyteller, and I just love it, just absolutely love it.
So, you know, we've talked about this before the show. So you answered a question when presented, are you a writer or a storyteller? I like to ask people that, especially young people.
Yeah.
Like myself. Well, I'm an old young one. Yeah, I'm an old young one. But anyway, and you know, right off the bat, you pretty much quickly answered, I'm a storyteller, Ron. And you just said it several times. You love to tell stories, and you said it, and that's true.
That's true.
And the people that I've found who automatically, without hesitation, without a nanosecond, I'm a writer. Well, what do you mean you're a writer? Well, I discipline myself. I have to write at least 1,000 words a day, 5 days a week. I am very methodical with what I do.
Right.
I write as a profession. Well, when you first started out, were you a writer? Not so much. I was more of a storyteller, I suppose.
Hmm.
And I go, okay. Oh, and I'm talking to the person who sold, hundreds of thousands of books, right? Yeah. Maybe it's just part of the journey. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. I think, I don't know. For me, I don't have to so much be disciplined and sit down and say, today, like I'm doing this NaNoWriMo, you know, 50,000 words. I'm participating in that and finding it a challenge to put myself on a schedule. Like, I got to get this done. Rather than to almost see it and write, because when I can see it visually in my head, I can write nonstop, and I just go and go until I don't see it anymore, and it's over, and I'm done, and until I pick that up again. So it is a bit of a challenge, you know, when you're a storyteller, you start out, you're telling people, it was a dark, dreary night when he drove past, and as you're telling the story, you can see it. And for me, I can see exactly what I'm saying and write it, and then I'm able to convey it and let you see how I see it, how dark it was and dreary. It's cool for me to almost be a storyteller as I put it on paper.
Well, you know, the way you describe it, I've heard described similarly dozens of times and in so many different ways.
But yeah,
the same conveyance. And last week's guest I had, she's from Australia, and she said the books just fall into her head. That's basically what you're saying when it's
exactly.
Then she said what she does is it flows, and it's like you're filling a bathtub full of water. And then when you got the whole story's out, it's flowed, said sooner or later you just pull the plug and it's gone.
Exactly.
So that's it. That's you know that I loved it the way she described it. That's what it's like to her. And
yeah.
You know, whatever metaphors or whatever analogy you want to use or whatever, you know, but that's it. That's what it's like. And as you're doing your stories, you know.
Yeah.
But what you'll find, the more and more you write, you might start to see what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You went back and looked at some of those papers you're writing in sixth grade. Then you go back to that manuscript 8 years ago you put down.
Mm-hmm.
And you revisit it. I guarantee you're going to find that your writing has changed.
Yeah.
You'll find it. Oh, I needed. Oh, this here. It doesn't. I'm not just talking about your own personal line editing and your grammar and everything else. You're going to find your process possibly is going to be evolving too.
Yeah.
With each book you write, possibly. I don't know. You know, maybe some people have it right off the bat. I don't know. Maybe so.
Yeah. Oh, you're absolutely right. I know I've gone back and looked at stories before and thought, wow, I said it like that? I would have said, you know, you're right. It has changed. And so I don't know if I've evolved and, you know, have become more of a woman of the world and have seen, I don't know what I chalk that up to, but yeah, you're right. It has evolved and changed, you know, just from reading different things that I've done in the past. So
that's why I love the, you know, pulling the plug and letting the water out.
Yeah.
At some point, and what she's saying, and I've said it many times, at some point you just got to put the brushes down and walk away.
Yeah.
And you know, the art critics, the whoever, the book critics, or whatever, or the reviewers, the readers, they've got the right, of course, go right ahead. But if you could literally, I think, and I had this discussion with a writer friend of mine who is a writer and has been, and I said, look, will you not concede that you could literally work on the same piece your whole life if you wanted to? He said, well, yeah, I guess I could. There you have it.
Huh.
At some point, you got to pull that plug, drain that water out, and go on to your next bath. You know?
Right.
So yeah, that's. So okay, you know, you're. I know you're doing a follow-up book to your first one. Now, what's it going to be? What's the title of it?
This one is going to be Tales from Hell, and I'm going to release it in a kind of a trilogy. It'll almost be like if you remember the Tales from the Crypt and Tales from the Dark Side.
Yeah.
Some great, great shows that I used to watch. Yeah. And so I liked it because each tale was different. It was eerie. It was sometimes scary, but it was very intriguing. I just love both of those shows. So the book that I'm going to do is kind of a spinoff from On Earth as It Is in Hell. These will be the Tales from Hell. And will be a collection of short stories about some, you know, similar things that, you know, that kind of spin off of this one.
Okay.
Starts out, yeah, kind of that same way of these demons inhabit the earth, and here is the tale, the first tale of this one that does a certain thing, and yeah, it's I'm pretty excited. I'm about halfway through it, and I'm hashing it out. It's going kind of the same way where it's flowing very easily with the different tales that will come about.
Okay, each trilogy, each book, is it going to be novellas, or is it going to be full novels for each book?
It's going to be novellas. Yeah, okay. Definitely. I'm going to release, you know, little short stories that'll be easy reads, excuse me, that will be, you know, really intriguing to follow. And then, you know, kind of lead you to the next available series that will come out and come forth. And I'm hoping that, you know, this, I can just carry this on, as, you know, a complete, to make it a complete, book. But I think right now I'll just release different novellas for the different, demons, so to speak, that will, entail each section of tales.
Yeah, for your writing group for your tent cabin or whatever they call it with the Nona, whatever. I did that year last year. But anyway, is that a different writing you're doing than your short stories?
No, actually, it's included in this, and
right.
So
yeah,
just,
you can do that.
Yeah, definitely. It kind of gave me a kick in the butt to do it. That's because I'm telling you, I would have put this down for a little while, but because of this event, I thought, hey, great reason to get this done, and it's pushed me and propelled me along to finish it. So it's going to be out. The first one will be out at the end of this month. I'm flowing quite well with this one.
All right, well, that's what, when I was participating in the camp last time, that's what Book of Mine came from. That's where my book Red came
from. Oh, cool.
As I was doing the project, you know, the 50,000 word minimum in a month, isn't it? Yeah, a month.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Well, I started writing, and this character came in.
Huh.
And started writing her, and I said, wow, this is kind of fun. And I kept writing chapters about Red. And that's
wow.
Her name. That's her name. And I'd write another chapter, then a different one, then boom, I'll be right back to Red.
Huh.
Then I said, now I gotta quit this. I'll write two or three other things, and then I'll, no, dadgummit, Red came back, you know? Well, before you know it, I had about 30,000 words or so with just Red.
Wow.
So that's my book, that's out, Red. And that's kind of
awesome.
Like that first book you ever published, you know?
Yeah, hey.
Yeah, well, I mean, it just, she came, she just, boom, she took over. That's the kind of personality she is. She just will, hey, anywhere she is, she's the center of attention. She doesn't demand it. It just comes natural.
But it comes natural. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, that's a fun camp to do. That's a fun thing.
And yeah, it does.
But, you know, what it does, you know, and you think about it, that's what they're doing. This is a writer's camp.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be disciplined to write 50,000 words in 30 days.
Right.
So you got to schedule yourself, and they'll keep you up with how many words you like. Now you got to write this many words a day to achieve the goal. And so they keep reminding you that.
I tell you, they should
be a writer, Cortina. Don't be a storyteller. Be a writer.
Be a writer. Exactly.
But you know what? I've washed babies before, and I've never thrown the baby out with the dirty water, you know? So in other words, you know, write your stories, but do it right away. I don't know, maybe some people get lost in the writing and forget the story, you know?
Yeah.
You know, we want tuna that tastes good, not with good taste. Come on, man. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, exciting. And, okay, after this, what's happening? Anything else on the horizon? You got some stories back there percolating? I know how it works.
I'm telling you, I think I really am going to go ahead with that first one. Like you said, dust off the first one.
And
put it out there.
If you want to create a pen name, go ahead. Do it.
It'll show my range. Not only do I write thrillers and horror, but also erotica. So it kind of will give me a range and something different to look forward to. Kind of show that, you know, I'm pretty versatile with what I can write.
Well, why not? You're from Texas, wide open place.
Hey, that's
don't
the, hey, that's
you in. That's right. you
that's what we do in Texas.
Roam. There you go. You want to roam? Now, okay, you're from Texas. Do you ride horses?
I'm scared to death of horses. I know every.
Well, lady, why in the world you living in Texas?
Scared to death. But I will put on a hat and make you think that I can.
Oh, okay.
Can.
Well, all right. Well, you fake it, huh?
That's right.
Well, I thought everybody in Texas had to know how to ride a horse. I thought, damn. Yeah, you sound
well,
like, you know what?
Everybody,
you sound like, you'd be better acclimated. Atlanta. Now, Atlanta's a great city. You know that.
Yeah.
And that's where about horses much. I don't know.
Well, in Texas, you got to know how to navigate the traffic. That's, it'd be better if we could ride a horse here, but here you got to get in that traffic and know how to get out of it, because there's no mercy on these roads.
Well, no mercy at all. Take no prisoners. That's right. You got to hey, everybody. Well, hey, Cortina, you know what? I think I hear some music in the background.
Uh-oh.
That means the show is almost over.
Oh,
and you know
man.
What? I told you you'd be great, and I told you not to worry, and I told you don't be nervous, and you weren't, and you haven't. It's been fantastic, and thank you, Cortina, for coming on.
Thank you so much. It's been outstanding. I've really enjoyed talking to you.
All right, Cortina, and congratulations on the book and your new one coming out. Oh, that's fantastic. And, folks, next Monday night, listen in on the show. I have a lady coming back on who was on months and months ago. She is Farloff's mom, the dragon. She's the lady who writes that. Theresa Snyder is coming right back on the Ron Shaw Show next week. Tune in with me and Theresa Snyder. See y'all next week, folks. Good night, Cortina.
Good night. We'll see you from Texas.
All right. The great state of Texas, folks. All right. Later, folks.
Behind the Mirror, Paranormal Fantasy by Faye E. Simon involves a mirror into time, sorcery, demons, and a coup d'etat. Get your ebook copy July 8, 2015. Contact Faye E. Simon at novelsbyfayesimon.homestead.com/home.html or on Twitter at The Lady Phantom.